The George Plaster Show.
He is the holder of a PhD, an MA, a BA, and is a BMF besides.
Get in on The George Plaster Show. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Or online at WNSR.com. And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend. George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in on a Friday afternoon. And what I'm about to try to explain is one of the dumber moments I have ever put together in radio. I am actually, as you can tell, on my phone because I have locked my keys, or at least we think I have, in the car. And so we're waiting on a locksmith to take care of that issue. I know Watson Brown is going to have some fun with this up on the plateau. Watson, how are you?
George, I can't quit giggling, bud. I mean, at least you're okay, right? It's in daylight. Oh, it's daytime. You're not out remote somewhere where you're out by yourself. And unbelievable.
No, I'm actually out at TriStar Summit where I'm getting a little rehab work done on a shoulder. And so we think the keys are in the car, but we can't swear to that.
You might need to have a little rehab work done on that brain. That might be a place you might go next, huh?
Well, you know, normally I wouldn't appreciate that comment, but, you know, today I really can't deny it.
No. I have to admit, buddy, I got you on this one now. You just got to sit there and take it. That's all you can do is just sit there and take it.
And hope the keys are in the car. That'll be some good radio when the locksmith arrives.
Will we get a play-by-play with this?
We might. And if the keys are not in there, we may have to hit the old dump button.
Oh, gracious sakes.
I don't know if Terry McCormick is with us by phone. He was going to be with us during the first segment of the show. Jay, if he is there, go ahead and bring Terry up as well. Hadn't made it yet. Okay, Watson, let's talk about last night, which is maybe even worse than this situation I'm in right now with the car.
Oh, George, it wasn't pretty, was it?
No, it really was not. And, you know, I don't really know what to say, and I'm sure you don't either, other than that there just was nothing good about last night at all. The offensive line was awful. Early, the defense wasn't very good. And so there are a lot of issues to this.
Yeah, even though, George, I thought as the game went on, the defense played well enough to win the game. You know, they had
didn't play great early.
Yeah, they gave up a couple of big plays early on, some fade routes and some things. But the turnover, and we've been talking about that, you know, the fumbling the ball on a punt return, giving them the ball inside the 10. Just not good stuff. Not the way you want to start against Jacksonville, who you know is going to struggle to get points. And we just give them 7 right out the gate. Said here, we'll start 7 down. But as the game went on, I thought the defense played well enough to win, and I think they have all 3 games. I think that if we had our offensive issues worked out, whatever that is, we'd be 3-0 right now. It's just disappointing, and it's hard to understand. I mean, 6 of 16, 62 yards in the first half. I mean, just nothing. Punts, 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 punts. I know they were lucky it fell perfect. It was a perfect storm as a cliche because it was a storm. But they get their 14 points, and then the rain comes, and I think that was part of it. Neither team moved the ball. But in the second half, Georgia got 5 first downs is all they got, you know.
Yeah.
And we don't start moving the ball till it's 17-0, And then I think there was a little defend that came into the Jaguars a little bit at that point too. But we have major offensive line issues, and we're going. I know we're going to get right back into Marcus again, and some of the things that I defended on weren't pretty last night. But a little bit to his defense. My gracious, check out Minshew. How many times did he get rushed? You know, I mean, when people were close to him was the closest it got. Our guys just, there's bodies all around him. But I know we're going to get into it, and we should. But I'll have to admit, it was the offense for the third time in a row that's kept us from being 3-0.
Watson, let's start with this. The offensive line is an issue that we shouldn't be shocked about, number one, because of Taylor Lewan's suspension.
Yeah.
But secondly, the preseason game against Pittsburgh sort of gave us an indication that this was possible.
Yes, it did, and we knew it. We saw it that night. I personally think they got Mariota out of that game because of that early. I bet you he was going to play more that night, and they saw that protection. Whew, I'm telling you. And we've got Lewan out. We had another starter out last night, so we're two down. Now, is that your – what is going on in the background right there?
That is my car. The problem is it doesn't look like the keys are in here, and that's a bigger issue.
Where in the world could they possibly be?
Watson, if I knew the answer to that, you know what? I'd be a little step closer to getting to the station.
Well, but didn't you leave the car and go straight in the facility?
Yeah, and we've looked most everywhere you could look.
Wow.
That they might have gotten lost. And so right now we're in a little bit of a we're in a little bit of a quandary as well.
Yeah, so they're not in there. They've got the door open and they're not in there?
The door is open, and it does not appear that they're in here.
Oh, gracious, boy. I'm telling you. I need to call and just pay for you a taxi and get you over to the facility? Or what are you going to do here, son?
Hold on here just a second, Watson. let's go back. Let's go back on the offensive line thing. You kind of give me what you would try to do if you know your offensive line really cannot protect.
Or run the ball. Can't do either. Our best running back rushed for, what, 44 yards and 17 carries? I mean, of course, they couldn't run it either. It's hard. When you're getting dominated in an offensive line, it's hard. But you got to try your best maybe to spread it out and throw quick balls. Throw a lot of screens, just stuff like that. They were crowding us last night. They knew we were in trouble, protection. I still had issues with a lot of balls going down the field when we were having protection problems. And it's hard on television. You can't completely see the routes, but there might be a quick rerun or something, and you could see there's just some deeper throws. But George, he also missed a lot of short throws in the ball game early, and so it's a little bit on him too. I saw some flaws in him last night that I'm not sure I had seen, but I saw him last night. He's got some fundamental flaws at times. He's slow in his feet. When he's in the pocket, his feet are slow. He doesn't hop around and move around when there's a guy close, and he kind of just steps up or runs, and or just sits there and doesn't move. And so he doesn't have great feet in the pocket. He's struggling with those sideways throws. Last night he struggled with bubbles out there to the sides. I thought he had a screen. They had a screen on once called. He couldn't get the ball to the screen, a wide receiver screen. He couldn't get the ball out to the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always said to a quarterback, hey, I don't care. It's your job. Get it out there. Somehow get the ball to the wide receiver. Was there so much penetration that he just couldn't even see the wide receiver? I mean, so some of the things I'm saying they needed to do, they called in the game.
Yeah.
It's not a good place, buddy, to struggle. It's the offensive line. That's about half of those, in my opinion, were Marcus was part of the issue on holding the ball too long again. I'd say about half of them.
Right. Watson, they have the benefit, because of the Thursday night game, of a Friday, Saturday, Sunday to try to prepare for Atlanta. But it seems to me they've got to go to ground zero at this point. What do you do with these extra 3 days?
Well, a major evaluation. There's going to be talks about everybody. There's going to be talks about – I think we get one of the offensive linemen back this week. I thought I read. I'm not sure which one that missed, and that's bad of me not to know that. But I know we had a guard, I think, that missed last night that was injured, that he's supposed to be back. So we're going to have four of the five guys. When you're playing with three of your five starters, that is tough. And the Jaguars finally came out of a shell and rushed the passer, and they're supposed to be a good pass rush team, but they – only had four sacks in two games. George, they hadn't put a lot of pressure on. I watched that Texans game pretty close on last Sunday, and they played good defense against the Texans now. And so I knew they were going to go against a formidable defense. And if they get rid of Jalen Ramsey, they're nuts. I'm telling you. You don't get guys like that very often. He is a very good cover corner now. I'm telling you, he is.
I believe Terry McCormick is with us now. Terry, are you there? Okay, apparently Terry is not with us. So, Watson, look, I think I know that in the next segment we will play a good chunk of the press conference that was held earlier today at noon. What do you try to do to repair Marcus Mariota's confidence? He looked like a robot last night who really didn't show any emotion about anything that went on.
Well, there wasn't any really good things for him to show emotion. I mean, he hit a couple of deep balls, but there's just nothing there. I mean, it was an unbelievably poor performance by the whole offense in the first half. I mean,
right.
It was a kill. Again, I'm taking up for that in that the rain in the second quarter put a damper on both sides. So it was that's why it was tough. But, I mean, he's, you know, both sides have to play in the rain. So it's you can't just use that as an excuse. But I don't think they got to talk about a lot more than Marcus. They got to look at the system. What are we doing? Is there something we can help Marcus with? Is it time to start thinking about playing another guy? We're going to get the line back full go if nobody gets hurt this next week in game five. Do we just try to hang on? It's tough. I mean, that's why they pay Coach Vrabel the big bucks, because there's a lot of decisions to be made.
Yeah.
Now, the good thing last night, we got the ball to Humphreys. Everybody touched it a little bit. A lot of receivers made some nice plays. I don't think the issue is our receiving core now. I don't think our issue is a running back. I don't think our issue is at tight end. It's the quarterback offensive line issue they're going to deal with, and the system. Is there more we can do for Marcus? Should we have done more last night when we saw we were having major protection issues? What else could we have done to have helped that situation? The penalties, we've not been a penalized team. We were in the top four in the league. Number of penalties going into that game. And then there's penalties galore, a lot of them on offense. Still had those third and long issues, got a little better in the second half. But I think that the defense of the Jags helped that a little. They started defending a little more when it got to 17-0. And we're going to make us pick at them a little more going down the field when they were pressuring us pretty good now through the first half. They bought some different pressures and blitzes. They played us tight a lot when they weren't blitzing. You know, I mean, it's Georgia. There's just so many places to go, babe. I don't
right.
know, but I know our issues are offense. Period. The defense is playing good enough, in my opinion,
sure.
to have won these Watson, first three games, and it's goes hold, back to the offense.
Hold on to all of that. Let me get Jay at the station. Jay, if you can talk to me, are we able to run a chunk of the press conference after the break?
Yeah, we can.
Let's do that then. It's 2:18. We'll go to the break by telling you you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound-chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
R&M Printing in Mount Juliet is reminding everyone to please give blood. By doing so, you may save the life of a child, surgery patient, or accident victim. So give blood. It's safe, it's simple, and it's needed. This community reminder was a courtesy of R&M Printing, located at 7803 Lebanon Road in Mount Juliet, specializing in company logos, t-shirts, polos, hoodies, jerseys, and more. Call 615-453-5770. That's 615-453-5770. And like them on Facebook, too.
Let's say hello to my buddy and former 1977 BGA classmate, James Warren. He's now the owner of Sir Speedy in Berry Hill. James, let's talk a little mailing services.
We do mailing for all kinds of folks, George. And I will say, if a business needs to boost sales or drive customer loyalty, they can talk to us. We'll have it covered. Our direct mail pros can get your company in front of the right people with our comprehensive direct mail and mailing services. Basically, all you have to do is share your goals with us, and we do the rest. Get the ball rolling and send your next direct mail project to us at rates cheaper than you can mail things.
Give me the particulars.
Yeah, so our email address is print@sirspeedymusiccity.com. You can find us online at sirspeedymusiccity.com or give us a call at 615-832-9511. We've got you covered.
Hey, it's Jonathan Schaefer. Join me, Greg Pogue, and Dan Bradley for Ensworth Tigers football.
It is a touchdown for the Ensworth Tigers!
Tune in Friday nights this fall for Ensworth Tigers football.
Still on his feet! It is a touchdown! What an effort for the TUA touchdown!
Live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
25, and now close to the 20-yard line, and a sonic first down!
Your home of the Ensworth Tigers is right here on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
is the time as we welcome all of you back. As you can tell, I'm on by phone, which is a goofy deal because I have locked my keys, or at least we thought I'd locked my keys in the car. That may or may not be the case, but I nonetheless, we're going to make this work. What you're going to hear is Mike Vrabel's press conference from today around noon. It'll be in the 18 to 20 minute range, so kind of kick back and enjoy. Here we go.
Yep. Hey, Teresa. Good
morning. Mike, coming off of two losses in 5 days, what do you look at trying to fix or improve first?
Well, I think the accountability and the fundamentals is something that we really have to focus on today, over the weekend, especially on Monday with the extra day of practice. I think that that's what the message is going to be to the team, is that we have to take accountability for our choices, our actions, coaching and playing, and then we have to improve our fundamentals and use Monday as a day to really concentrate on that.
Disappointing that you have to maybe deal with some of that 3 weeks into the season?
No. I mean, that's part of being a coach. I mean, that's part of being somebody that has to lead any organization or any team, is that you face different challenges, you face different situations, you face things every day that you have to try to get people moving in the right direction. And that's what we're going to do. We've put ourselves in this position, and 3 games into the season, we're going to do everything we can to get to 2-2.
When it comes to trying to help out an offensive lineman, like Chip or whatever, is it more difficult to do that with an inside guy as opposed to a tackle?
There's different ways to help different guys along parts of the offense. And, whether that's a receiver that's being doubled and then you have to try to create some sort of route concept to help him, or an interior lineman, you can slide the line, you can move pieces around. You only have 11 guys, but I think that you have to be able to mix things up and figure out where the matchups are in this league, and understand who you have to help and how you have to try to go about doing it, and still be sound in what play you're trying to run.
I don't want to go over all 9 of them, but how many of the sacks guys just got beat? How many maybe didn't have communication issues down pat, technique issues bad?
I think that's that's all part of it. Not to run down every single sack, but when we put ourselves in a position again to drop back and throw the football as many times as we had to, based on the how the game was being played and where we were being down, they're going to blitz you. They blitzed us. They made a decision that they were going to blitz us. They were going to at times take a safety out of the middle of the field and bring pressure, a lot of it. And so I thought there were times where we picked it up. I thought there were times where we converted on third down. There was a trust. All out blitz. We throw the ball before Delaney gets to the sticks. He turns around, makes a huge play. We get into a check against all out pressure. Throw it to Corey, decisive route, decisive throw, and they deemed that we, didn't line up correctly. But there are times where, guys are, in matchups where we didn't win, and there were times where, we can throw it away. That's how it is every week. If you take a sack, there's usually one of those few things that are going on.
How much do you think that a lack of open receivers is playing a part in the sacks or separation?
Well, I think it always plays a part. I think that you have to be able to protect. You have to be able to get open and deliver the football. There's times where there's guys are open. There's times where guys aren't open. There's times where there's breakdown in protection, and there's times where we got to get rid of the football. So there's always a lot of factors that go into it. And I know that everybody would like to pin it all on one or two people, but that's not the case, and it's not going to be what happens here.
Getting behind the chains has been a big problem through 3 games. What needs to change in order to not get yourself into 3rd and 15, 3rd and 20 so often?
Stay efficient. Again, try to repeat what we did last week. I talked about that the penalties have really been, you know, in last night's game, something that contributed to that. You know, second and 20 is a difficult place to be. We got into some runs. We were able to run the football. And then for whatever reason, you know, penalties or a tackle for loss, you know, then you're back in those situations. So that's certainly not where you want to play the football game against a good defensive team is in third and long.
I think that was caught up a little bit, and is he going to be in a position where he could maybe compete for playing time or potentially a starting spot?
Well, I think Nate continues to improve and try to make up on the ground that he wasn't able to take advantage of in training camp, and he's certainly somebody that we have to start to look to work in there.
And now that you've gotten some time to sit back and watch the tape and reflect, what did you think of your quarterback's effort last night?
Well, I thought there were times where he competed. He competed, took some shots, was able to throw the ball, deliver it, be decisive, and then there were times that, there were some plays that we'd all like to have back, at every position. But, I know he hung in there, he competed, scrambled it down to the one, threw some good balls, and then we'll get him coached up on some things that we'd like to see improve.
With that balance, as far as the rotation, Deion Lewis, Derrick Henry, was it more get out of trouble situations that dictated Lewis playing more, or what was behind that?
I mean, we pretty much got into 2 minute in the fourth quarter, based on the score. How the game was being played, that's really about all it was. It was wanted to give Derek all his opportunities to impact the game. We feel like on first and second down that either running the football or working our play pass, working our screen game, and then Deion, we feel comfortable on third down and what he's doing and protection and getting out of the backfield, and that then when you go to 2 minute. That's kind of where Deion's strength is, and so we'd like to certainly not play these games from behind. I don't think that's what we would like to do, and that's not how we're built right now.
Correa, the technique on the penalty, one he got penalized for, did he start off well? The helmet got up too close to the face mask, or what did you see if you watched that again?
It's not a great view. The sky cam is pretty close to the contact point from our view from the end zone. The referee felt like he saw something that was illegal. Waiting on a response, and I'll update you on whatever Al says. Seems like everybody else is giving those updates. So whatever Al says, I'll let you guys know.
How do you keep guys from getting, there are a lot of calls, some of them may be questionable. How do you keep a team from maybe getting?
Well, I think it's, just making sure that we all keep our composure. I'm going to try to do that. Starts with me, get an explanation. It's what they see. It's certain. Some of those holding calls are, we have nothing to complain about. If the guy breaks the framework of our body and we tug him, that's bad fundamentals and those should be called. That's what it is. We have to improve on that. That's something that was a strength of our football team last year. We believe in it. We coach it. We try to play it. But we can't let them affect us, and we have to try to move on and figure out where we're at in the next situation, whether that's a defensive penalty that moves the ball down or it's an offensive penalty that backs us up. The only thing we can do is keep our composure and move on to the next play and try to figure out how to fix it.
Defensive penalties, what can Logan Ryan do differently on that
pass? I don't think anything. I don't think he can't do anything.
You mentioned inquiring about the Correa. Do you inquire about a few calls?
Sure, they give us 10. Okay. Full disclosure, they give you 10. And they share, and we get 10 responses, and we get 10 responses, and the other team gets up to 10. We get the other teams, what they respond to the other team as well. That's something that's new this year. That had been talked about in previous meetings and owners meetings, brought up by Bruce Allen in Washington. because we try to use those things to teach our players and to help our players and say, hey, this is what they saw. They might not have called it this time, but, you know, this is what they're looking for. So that's how the process works. We turn them in, and then they're answered in which the order they receive. Sometimes we get them back quicker than other weeks, and we try to, you know, have communications with the league, with Al, with what they're instructing the officials to do.
Do you go 10 every week? Or
no, not every week. No.
You get to 10 in this one?
I think we got to 10, yeah.
Mike, you've had two-minute situations at end of games the last two games now. Do they need to be moving faster and executing, getting to the line and moving with a little bit more speed?
Well, the first two-minute one was at the end of half, and I felt very comfortable with where we were, 44-yard line. Two timeouts, thought we had a chance to double them up and get some points without having them touch the ball. That didn't happen. And then I think that as the pace of play, I think we can always be faster. Our urgency and normal down and distances in two-minute, we always want to work with a pace and with an urgency with what we're doing. And being efficient, you know, I think that if you're able to, you know, move the ball efficiently, you know, you don't have to maybe, you know, be as fast. And you know, when guys are downfield and then there's a 5 or 6 yard route, it makes it a little difficult to go as fast as you'd like.
Would you consider the punt return situation still week to week between Adoree and Adam?
Well, I think the punt return, everything is week to week. You know, everything is, we have to do everything we can to get the 2-2. So whether it be the punt return, the offense, the defense, everything's week to week.
Yeah, that second punt return for Adoree last night, did he need to make that fair catch?
We need to try to catch all, we try to save as many yards as we possibly can. In all phases of the game, those hidden yardage we talk about every week is critical. Trying to catch the punch, trying to make great decisions to help us to save yardage.
You said that every situation is week to week. Is the quarterback a part of that, or is that even worth talking about at this point?
I don't think that's something that we're looking at right now, but it's always something that we consider every week. But not right now. I think that, again, trying to emphasize the really good throws, the really good production. We got some play pass production. But then again, there was just some plays that we'd like to have back in our run game, in our throw game, our defense. You know, we gave up 4 plays for 167 yards and then 50 for, 120. So playing 50 snaps really well and playing 4 not good enough.
How do you evaluate Malcolm today? He gave up some plays. It seemed like he was physical, made some tackles.
Competed. He's on body. He's not looking back for the ball. He's competing. He's, good tackle on Fournette. Stayed up, something that we talked about, not diving, staying up, making a good tackle, and competing on those 50-50 balls. And, love his effort, his competitiveness. And, maybe some things that we can clean up down the field as far as, trying to go disrupt the ball as opposed to maybe trying to go for an interception. But I just love the way Malcolm competes. I know you're fighting for a question back there.
Les, I appreciate that. Last night you said, I think there's a lot of guys that fought and competed after the game. We'll have to find out if everybody was doing that. Judging by the score, probably not. Did you see evidence of that when you went back and watched the film?
Yeah, I felt like there are some guys that really did, compete. And I'm not anyone to single anybody out. I think that we'll address those, as they come up here through the next couple of days. Every week we can't determine or predict how the games are going to go. We just tell the defense, wherever you have to play defense at, that's where you have to go play defense. And if it's on the 7-yard line, it's on the 7-yard line. And at that point in time, you have to try to force them to kick a field goal. Offense, if we have to go 90 yards, we got to go 90 yards. And do we want to play a game down 14-0 in the first quarter? No. But that's where we were last night, and we have to realize that it's not always going to be perfect, that we're going to have given them enough foundation and fundamentals to go play and to have some rules to with what we're doing. And get them a call and make sure that it's decisive and that the players have enough opportunity, enough time to go out there and sort things out. Because once you make the call, you know, we have to make sure that 11 guys on the field are all on the same page.
In those tough times, some locker rooms you have the finger pointing. What is it about this locker room and you that will keep that from happening here?
Well, I'm very confident, you know, in that we're going to take this weekend to, you know, to not point any fingers and try to pull the thumb and understand that it starts with me. It starts with our coaching staff, our players, and believing in each other, that there's evidence of good football. There's evidence of really good football. And then we just clean up the little things and understand that it's not one person. It's never going to be about one guy. And it's going to be about the team. But we have great leadership here, guys that have played in a lot of football games and competed. And trust in our leadership and trust in the process.
Is it tough to keep that challenging a player or one player challenging another from becoming a finger pointing situation?
Well, I mean, I hope that there's enough trust in everybody here, which is something that we try to work on in the off season. That if you hold guys accountable, you know, that nobody's taking anything personally. But, you know, I think that everybody that does that, that if you hold people accountable, you know, you got to make sure that you're doing everything that you need to be doing before we start holding guys accountable.
How do you find a balance as a coach of when maybe to let off steam and when to maybe just be calm and measured and not get worked up over things when you address them?
Well, I mean, I think that you just you try to talk to them, you try to coach them, you try to teach them. I think that's based on the different individuals, the different guys and how they respond and your relationship with them and what they feel like they need and what I feel like they need. You know, some guys you know, they want that, they need that little extra, you know, nudge. But, you know, we're going to go in there, we're going to coach, we're talking to them right now, they're meeting right now. We'll go back in, I'll meet with them. We'll give them the weekend off to heal up and find a way and do everything we can to get to 2-2.
When you get a week like this with maybe a little extra planning time, practice time, is it easier to adjust the lineup at all? You know, whether that be a Nate Davis or anything else?
Well, I think it just gives you time to do a lot of different things, whether that's, you know, focus on the fundamentals, focus on specifics, focus on details. Make changes in lineups, move guys in, around, different spots. What I mean, you just have more time to do a little bit of everything. But I think the most important thing is that we, you know, get healthy and focus on who can do what and what each guy's strengths are and what they you know, really are comfortable doing and will do for us. And they just keep plugging along.
Sunday you had a 4th-and-1 punted. You went for it on 4th-and-6 last night. Is that more situation, chart, numbers, or gut? And how much of it might be you still kind of growing into head coaching?
I don't know really how to respond to that other than I told the team that for us to win the football game at halftime last night, we were going to play the guys that were the most aggressive and we were going to be aggressive in our mindset. That's as far as we had gotten down there. We had moved the ball, and I felt really good on, you know, going forward to that situation. Not going to revisit Indianapolis and, you know, go through the decision there. I touched on that last week. This week was another opportunity to score a touchdown and be aggressive with where we were coming out of halftime and the message that I had try to deliver to the football team.
Encouraged by the, like last night was really the first time Mariota Humphreys had really connected for a lot of production. Did you see something there that, you know, maybe you hadn't in the first?
Yeah, you know, Humph ran some good routes and Marcus was able to find them. And, you know, again, just not enough. I mean, just not enough of just the consistency that's required against a, you know, a good defensive football team.
How's Rashawn Evans doing and any other injuries from the game?
You know, I felt like Rashawn played really hard. He played fast, and sometimes when you do that, you get banged up a little bit. But I'm confident that he'll be okay. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Okay, so there you have a little bit of the press conference earlier today. Jay, I'm assuming that means we need to go to the break. It is 2:43, and you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Tennessee's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
Hello, I'm Coach Bubba Spear.
And I'm Craig Light.
And I'm Greg Pogue, and we're inviting you to join us every Saturday morning at 8 for the 8th season of Prep Football Talk right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
That's right. Every Saturday morning, we'll get you caught on the action from the previous Friday night game.
And interview one of the top football prospects in the Mid-State and their head coach.
Plus, we'll take a trip down memory lane with our Prep Football Legend of the Week.
Prep Football Talk is brought to you by Freeman Webb, Nissan of Cool Springs, U.S. Army, Sam's Place and Sports Grills, Long's Insurance, and Speedway Motors.
Seven is the time as we welcome all of you back. George Plaster, Watson Brown with you. Watson, you were starting to get into some of Marcus Mariota's issues from last night. Talk a little bit more about that, and then help me to understand. Tell me a little bit about what issues you think that Marcus needs to work on over the next week.
Yeah, the press conference I thought was exactly what I saw. What Mike was talking about, I think he was general, but I could tell where he was headed, and it was what I saw. There are fundamental flaws in things sometimes, and in Marcus, what I see, George, is first of all I see a guy that's not having fun. Now they've lost two straight, and he's been knocked down, so it might be a little hard to have fun, but he just not relaxed, having fun, competitive, letting it go. He's competing, I can tell you that. He's trying really hard. Means a lot to him, I can tell. But he's not just letting it go. That's what I would say. He's just not loose and letting it go. And I think the pressure may be part of that, and all the talk in the preseason, and it is his last year, and what a big year financially for him, no matter where he ends up. And so he's just got to relax. But I see slow feet in the pocket at times. He's kind of a glider back there instead of sliding and hopping and moving around a little bit. There's a little pressure here. Slide this way, head still looking down the field. He's kind of a slow stepper. And a lot of times he doesn't even move. That is something I think that is correctable, and I haven't noticed that as much till last night, so maybe I've just missed that. But the second thing I see is when he is throwing outside cuts, he doesn't get his hip open to the throw enough to me. And again, all I'm doing is an opinion, but it, like some of those flares and bubbles they were throwing, he's kind of throwing across his front leg, and it makes the balls go high sometimes. And so I think there are things that can help him. There's no doubt everybody has got those issues in some ways. I mean, he was talking about DBs not just always going for the ball on deep balls, try to knock it loose, try to hit their arms. I knew what he was talking about when he's talking about that. There are little things that they can get a lot better at. And it's obvious, in my opinion, there is no thought of benching Marcus. I don't think there should be either. That's, again, me. And they just need to work with him. And then I think they need to sit down as an offensive staff and say, what can we do to give him more confidence to get him off to a quicker start? He talked last night about slow starts in the last two games. Well, help him more. Don't put it all on Marcus. 6 of 16. I mean, you got 1 6 of 16. You better be throwing some quick screens and some shorter things to try to up that. As the game's going on, you start out 2 for 8. Say, hey, we gotta get him some couple of easy throws here to get him going. So it's a little bit of everything. There's no reason to panic, but we're 0-2. We're 0-2 in the division, and that's not a good start. I think we're going to have to win the division to get in, because the division's not looking real strong to me. Nobody's going to dominate. So I think Mike's handling it perfect. Myself, he's not losing his cool with it. He even said, I got to be calmer myself during games. I agree with that. He can't be the one just off on every call that happens in a game. You got to get ready to play the next play too. So I think everything's right where it needs to be, and I think he's right on par. Let's just see if we get better. We will get better when the offensive line improves. Two major starters that are not playing right now.
Can the 3 days extra be a significant help?
Yeah, because you don't get that. You don't get that. You have one open date during the season, and if you happen to catch a Thursday game where you got a little extra time. So instead of week, they didn't get a chance to work any form of fundamentals. I promise you, they went straight to the room and started doing game plan stuff with the players because of the quick game after a Sunday to a Thursday. So, yes, this is a great time to do that. He's right on. He's spot on. And I hope that part of it is helping Marcus mentally and helping Marcus physically, because I think the young man is giving it all he's got. He wants to win. I do believe the players believe in him. They sure love him and like him a lot. There's no doubt in my mind about that. They want to see him successful. So one of the big things to me is, how can we make this young man a better player?
So for his purposes, do you tell him to just get away from this weekend, or is it in the building with a lot of discussion with him of, hey, here's what we're seeing, what are you seeing?
If he's who I think he is and the way I've read him here these few years, he's in the building. They couldn't run him out of there. That he's in there wanting to get better himself, wanting to talk, what can we do here, watching fundamental footwork, watching his decision-making down the field. Just there's so many things a quarterback can work on, and when you don't have to worry about the next game plan just yet. And I would bet you he's in there, that they couldn't run him out of there.
Do you, right now, what do you, I mean, obviously his confidence level cannot be at its highest, but he can also say to himself, I really didn't have a chance last night when you get sacked 9 times. What do you think his confidence level really is right now?
I think it's down. Not as much confidence as just pressure. He's feeling heat. He wants to do well so bad. I really think he does. I don't think he's an ego kid, a young man. He's not a kid anymore. I don't think that's
him. You're absolutely right about that part.
I think he wants to win for the team, and he feels bad when he doesn't. I've watched him take a lot of the heat and own up to it, and he don't back down from things. That's where I just... If I'm that staff, I'm in there saying, what can we do to help him? How can we help him here? Mike has helped him by, he has not even come close to saying there's a thought process of making a change. So he's helping him by doing that. There's no doubt in my mind. He's helping him by doing that. But they've also got to help him, because I think he wants help. I was reading an article, George, earlier about back in his second season where he had that 8-game stretch where he threw 21 touchdown passes, I think it was. I mean, he played fantastic.
Right.
We're not seeing any of that. We're not seeing any of that right now. And part of that is, you know, we talked in the offseason. Okay, we got to get him better receivers. We got to get a better offensive line. We got to get Delanie Walker back. Well, everything has happened with that except the offensive line. And Taylor Lewan really hurt that, man. Boy, when we talked about that back about 2 months ago, George, when we were talking on the show, did we nail that or not? Boy, has that hurt.
Yeah.
And they got a tough one coming now. This Falcon game will not be easy. The Falcons are very good on offense. They're very fast on defense. This is not going to be an easy game coming up either now. They've got to find a way to win this one and hang in there. They can't lose 3 straight. That's just tough. And then be 0-2 in your league, in your division. My gosh, that would be an awful start for them. So a very important week, no doubt, for the Titans, in my opinion.
Watson,
I'll say this before you.
You have a great weekend, and we'll get it all cleared up by Monday.
All right, George. Thanks, buddy. Get yourself back.
Well, I'll tell you about it later. I'm going to call you later. You won't believe it.
Believe me. I got to hear this story.
You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
You looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to Strike
strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No?